Well, you are listening to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. Today, we're going to be listening to the audio from some recent videos where Bobby talked to David Wood, who is the founder of Act 17 Apologetics.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. 1 Minute Apologist. Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions, to give a defense.
David Wood and his ministry, Act 17 Apologetics, is known specifically for Islamic polemics, but David also has a very interesting story, and he did a video of his story, and I posted that in the description of this episode. I would encourage you to check it out. But we're not talking with David today about Islamic polemics. We're talking about psychopaths and sociopaths and a number of interesting things that David has a unique insight in. And you may be asking yourself, what does this have to do with apologetics? Well, if you remember back to the podcast, episode 38, Bobby explains that his most recent PhD work is on whether our guilt points to the existence of God. And psychopaths and sociopaths don't experience guilt in the same way that maybe you or I do. And so because David is has this unique, rare mental disorder that he talks about, Bobby thought it'd be great to kind of get his insight into some of these issues. So we're going to be taking a listen to these conversations. And these, again, these are videos that you can find on our YouTube channel. The links to those are in the description of this episode. But before we get into the videos, I would like to remind you, as we get up to the end of the year, to please remember 1 Minute Apologist in your end of the year giving. We are listener supported. All of the resources that we have, we try to produce them as free for you as possible. All of the blogs, this podcast, all of the videos are all made possible by our generous supporters and team members. You can do that by going to the 1 Minute Apologist website, 1MinuteApologist.com, and click on donate in the upper right-hand corner. We'd really appreciate your support this year as it comes to a close. You can also join our team. You can click join right there on the front page of the website. For $99, you get some behind-the-scenes access to exclusive content. There's some great classes that Bobby taught that we are going to be releasing at the first part of 2020. And so you have access to those if you join our team and also if you donate as well. So please remember us as the end of the year approaches. And without further ado, we're going to jump into these videos with David Wood.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. Bobby here, and excited to have David Wood on the program with Act 17 Apologetics. David, just so thankful for your work. You're doing a great job out there, and we just love you and your ministry, and just thankful to have you on the program. You've been very open about your testimony, your story, how God saved you in prison for attempting to take the life of your father. And we appreciate that vulnerability, that transparency, that you're willing to talk about this. I think one of the things that it leaves questions, and I think that we'll be able to, in a string of videos, be able to help people to understand how this fits into the moral law. But help us to understand kind of the difference first of a sociopath and a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Well, the terms are often used interchangeably, and for years I've used them interchangeably, but there is a distinction. There is a technical distinction. They both fall under the umbrella of a disorder called antisocial personality disorder, which I was diagnosed with that when I was 18 years old, but they don't tell you what that is. So when I saw it, I just thought, okay, they're saying I'm antisocial or something like that, or I don't get along with people well. That's true. I don't always get along with people well. So I didn't know how severe that is. It wasn't until years later, after I'd gone through mental hospitals and jails and prisons and was in college taking a psychology class, that I was actually reading about this. And I was like, whoa, that is like a perfect description of my life. So antisocial personality disorder, it basically means you don't form normal emotional attachments to people generally. You lack empathy. So when people are going through stuff, it affects normal people. It doesn't affect you. People who have this generally don't respect the rights of other people, don't have any respect for the rights of other people or their feelings, things like that. And so they can end up getting in a lot of trouble. But here's where the distinction comes in. The classic saying is a hot-headed sociopath, a cold-blooded psychopath. And so the sociopath is generally hot-headed, easily irritated, violent outburst if someone annoys him, has trouble holding down a job, can end up as like a social outcast and so on. Psychopath more, cold, calculating, manipulative. Psychopaths will generally learn to mimic other people's emotional responses so that they can blend in. And so sociopaths are considered to have a less severe form of antisocial personality disorder, but they're easier to spot because they end up flipping out over things or not being able to hold jobs, whereas the psychopath will actually blend in, so they're kind of harder to spot.
Wow, thanks for sharing that distinction. You talked a little bit about a distinction between a sociopath and a psychopath. And this kind of gets into the whole moral law. And as somebody who's been spending the last several years of my PhD working on the moral argument from guilt, I'm interested in your story. And I find that this idea, some people will say there's no such thing as objective guilt. Because there are people who are psychopaths and they don't experience guilt. And I guess my question is that true in your opinion? Do they experience guilt?
Yeah, well, I can't speak for every psychopath on the planet, sure. but according to the diagnosis, it's generally viewed that psychopaths do not experience guilt or remorse. I can say right now that whatever you are feeling when you feel bad for something that you have done, I've never felt it in my entire life. Not with anything, not with attacking my dad with a hammer, even to this day, even after becoming a Christian, there's just no whatever you feel. I would, in my own experience, that's true. But there is a distinction here between psychopaths and sociopaths. I mentioned previously that sociopaths have a less severe form of antisocial personality disorder, and it's thought that they don't lack a conscience, they have a very weak conscience, whereas psychopaths just seem to lack a conscience. And so sociopaths can apparently feel guilt. It's usually related to people who are very close to them. So they might have a close relationship with their closest family members or something like that they could feel guilty about, whereas they wouldn't feel guilty at all about smashing in the face of someone they don't know or something like that. They might feel it with someone who's very close to them.
David, you talked about how a psychopath is not going to be susceptible to guilt feelings. That said, how then would a psychopath respond to the gospel? Because really becoming a Christian is recognizing our guilt. So you, as somebody who got saved in prison, you haven't felt remorse or guilt, you would say, but at the same token, you recognize your guilt. Can you help explain what that looks like a little bit?
Yeah, a couple of things. And I've actually heard from Christians over the years who've seen me give my testimony say, yeah, you're not really saved. You're not really a Christian because you're sitting here giving this testimony and talking about all these horrible things you've done, and you're not weeping over it. You're showing no emotional reaction to anything you're talking about. And it's important to keep in mind that repentance means turning away, turning away. And a psychopath isn't going to feel bad about things he's done. He can turn away from things he's done. So we are capable of saying, hey, I once thought that was a good thing to do, and I recognize that whatever my feelings happen to be, I'm not supposed to do those kinds of things, right? There's a God who has established a moral order. And even though I don't have certain feelings that other people have, I can recognize through what Jesus has taught that there is this moral order, there's a right and wrong, and however I happen to feel about it, I have an obligation to obey my Creator and the one who has saved me. And so, we're capable of that kind of moral reasoning. The flip side is that sociopaths and psychopaths can often end up doing some really horrible things in life. It's estimated that around 50% of serial killers are psychopaths. So people can end up living normal lives, but they can end up doing some very horrible things. And so in that sense, it can be a bit easier than for normal people to show them how horrible they are, right? In other words, you can, even though they don't have the feelings, if you've got a person who's lived a nice, good life, it can be very hard to convince that person, hey, you are in need of a savior. If you can show a psychopath that there is some sort of moral order after he's done really horrible things in life, you can say, look, you are in need of a savior. And yeah, I think I am.
Yeah, I like to distinguish too kind of between the fact of guilt and guilt feelings. You know, like there's the moral law, right and wrong. You break the moral law, you might not feel guilty, but you still are guilty. Somebody commits a crime, they might not feel guilty, but they can still be accused of their guilt. And what I feel like you have experienced in your life is a recognition of your guilt, absent of the feelings. And I gotta say, David, personally, as I've reflected on your story, I think that your faith in Christ could be a heck of a lot deeper than many professed Christians and Christians, because look, let's face it, if we didn't have the feeling of guilt to help sanctify us and tame us, how much would we want to get away with? And here's a man who's pursuing the heart of God faithfully and sharing the gospel. And I just thank you for that, because I think that the challenge that you would have to live faithfully, absent of that grace of feeling our wrongdoing, I would say that kudos to you, man, for doing that. And keep up your message. We need to hear that. My heart goes out to people that struggle with different types of mental illness. As somebody myself, ever since I was a kid, I can remember just feeling anxious and having anxiety, being overcome with fears and worries, slipping into depression where I feel hopeless. I think made me more of a compassionate person, because I feel for people that struggle in different ways. But I also know, even like as a psychopath, that's just a part of brokenness that you've acknowledged, that you experience. And I feel like I would love to see our culture not demonize people who have these struggles, because sometimes people aren't, it's not always just a moral issue. It's like you didn't ask to not feel things. It's just there. You probably would like to be able to understand that, but it's just not there. And I'm compassionate toward you for that. And I just like would want to ask you a question, because you're really brave coming out about that. I mean, there's a stigma when you say psychopath. It's one thing to say I have mental health issues, and as I'm sharing that I do. But man, it's upping the ante in the vulnerability department to say, man, I'm a psychopath. And I just appreciate that you're willing to share that. And I think that no one could have better advice than I would know of than you, David, on maybe somebody's raising a psychopath, or maybe somebody's struggling with it and they just want hope and they just feel demonized and shut out by the church. Is there hope, and how do you cope with it, and what would you offer?
Yeah, it is, it's sad that there are people who have to deal with this. There are people who have to deal with their kids exhibiting the characteristics of psychopaths. I do get messages from people saying, you know, my son or daughter did this horrible thing, killed a dog or something like that, and shows absolutely no remorse, just doesn't care. What do I do? And this isn't based on any tremendous research. All I can say is a little bit from personal experience. I think the most important first step is getting a psychopath to realize that he or she is defective and not superior. So you grow up as a psychopath and you start seeing other people crying over things and you don't have those reactions, and you start viewing them as inferior, right? You're superior to them. You don't have these weak little emotions that the rest of them have. And so you're superior, and you end up as a narcissist. Well, if you view yourself as superior and everyone else is inferior, very difficult to say that they're the ones who are actually right in some way and you're the one that's wrong in some way. But if you can ever get the psychopath to realize, hey, you are not unique here. You are not the center of the universe. This is actually a disorder that affects lots of people. And it's not that you have some ability that other people lack. You lack an ability that other people have. It's like you've been born without something. You've been born, you know, missing an arm or something like that, or missing a part of your brain. You're defective. You don't have to put it like that, but that's the idea you want to get across. You have a problem. You have a problem. And so you lack an ability that other people have. And so what are you going to do about it? And so if they're in that position to not, you know, if you can keep them from thinking that they're superior and better than everyone else, then they might want to start thinking, okay, well, you know, what can I do about this? One of the things I've done is I've had to invent sort of replacement emotions over the years, right? Like, I don't feel guilt, but I understand situations where I should feel guilt. I know what a situation is like where I sit back and say, I should feel guilt over that. And there's a different kind of, I don't know if I want to call it a feeling or what, there's a sense that, wow, I am messed up for not feeling guilty about doing this horrible thing. And so I can just rename that guilt because it's as close as I can get, right? So I can say, yeah, I feel really guilty about this. And what I really mean is I lack the feeling that a normal person lacks. And I acknowledge that I'm really messed up because of that. And that's not good. That's really bad that I'm defective in this way.
Like the person who can't feel physical pain, they can observe like, hey, I might not feel physical pain, but if I touch the stove, I'm gonna cause some problems here. It's kind of that situation.
Yeah, so I have to come up with kind of a replacement emotions where it's acknowledging that I'm defective in some way. But once a person has gotten to that point, recognizing that they're missing something, well, then they can try to take steps, right? They can try to take steps. I do need to modify my behavior because I'm not better than other people. I'm actually defective and I need to do what's right, even though I'm lacking something that other people have. And so it might be more difficult for me, but I still have to go out there and do it. And what you would hope for is that, this can actually lead to the gospel because, you know, we're fallen sinful creatures and we're fallen in various ways. But, you know, if we look forward to our resurrection, when all of this will be repaired, I would think that that's the best hope for a psychopath.
Are there any benefits to being a Christian who struggles as a psychopath?
Yeah, some of them, I don't know if I'd call them benefits, but there are things like, you know, we all have to experience everyone around us dying at some point, and you never experience the pain. But there's another sense in which I would want to experience the pain, right? I would rather experience the pain of someone dying, but it means you don't have to deal with a lot of grief like that. You're not scared in most situations that most people would be scared in. So you don't have to live in fear. You don't get anxiety when things are going wrong. You're generally the coolest headed person in any situation when things are going wrong. And you know, depending on what you're doing as a Christian, some of those things can actually be helpful. Like I deal with Islam. People say they're going to murder me and my family regularly, and that they're going to torture me and rape my wife and all these things. And it just doesn't scare me at all. So it allows you to kind of keep moving forward and not being put down by, you know, things that...
Your wife probably doesn't like that though, right?
Or No. Most people don't like that, but it allows you to say, look, here's what I'm going to do and nothing in this world is going to stop me. And you can torture me and kill me and you're still not going to stop me. So again, you would probably, you know, not want to have the psychopathy. You probably not want to have it. But if you've got it, you might as well make the best of it that you can. And you can face a lot of situations that would cause a lot of other people to crumble. And you just keep moving forward.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. If you want to help spread the word, please leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends about this resource. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel and blog for more credible answers to curious questions.